New Flooring from Strands, the flooring and paint store in Marshalltown.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's another Experience Marshalltown show, and we have Jay Carollo, Dori Tammann, and I actually talked about this morning, and I did.
Are you still on my thunder?
You know what? I didn't really realize originally when I booked Jay to be on the air that he was going to be on again, and then he says, well, I'm coming in with Val, and I said, you know, a double dose of Jay will do you.
Right.
So I said,
exactly.
Let's do it. I said, why not?
You can never get enough information from the information.
You cannot. And I said, sure, why not? We'll do
King
it.
King of the world.
Exactly. So we've got a Spanish flu presentation, and this is a really cool idea.
I know. I think it's awesome. So that's why I said to Dori, we've got to talk about this on Experience Marshalltown. And Jay said, I'm coming along. And I said, absolutely. The more the merrier when we're in the studio. And so today we are, like Kyle said, we have Dori Tammann and Jay Carollo with Riverside Cemetery. They wear multiple hats, but the program is going to take place this Saturday at the library at 10 o'clock. And I just thought it was be a great program for us this morning and for the listeners to hear more about the Spanish flu. And I know you said you're well educated on it, and you're such a great storyteller. I love having you on the show, both of you. So let's get started about what you're going to do on Saturday at the library with this program.
We will have a good morning first. We will have a PowerPoint presentation, and I'll do a little bit of history of the flu in general and how it relates to World War One, which was the tail end of World War One. So I'll talk a little bit about the history of the flu and the war nationwide, and then how that affected the flu epidemic or pandemic, actually. And then I'll also get into how it affected Marshalltown itself. I'd always wondered about it. I had a career in healthcare for many, many years, and so that information always interests me. And I know exactly which flu victim it was that I first found at the library or at the cemetery shortly after I started, and that sort of triggered, why, I wonder how many more there are. And we have burial orders that are in chronological order, so you could just go to the time, and one after another are these burial orders. Well, there's others intermixed with them because you had other deaths, of course,
but sure.
So within that time frame, you can just one after the other the deaths from Spanish flu. So we'll get into some of the statistics at the cemetery and some of the information about how Marshalltown dealt with the flu and a little bit about some other communities. There was a quarantine in town and everything was shut down. Grocery stores were limited to how many customers they could have in the stores at any one time, and they had to have guards at the door, and children were to stay in their own yards, and if they wandered the streets, the police would pick them up and take them home, and people couldn't have visitors in their home unless they were doctors or nurses if they had flu victims there. And,
wow.
And there were families that were hit multiple times with more than one person sick at the same time. There were times when husbands couldn't go to their wives' funerals because they were home sick with the flu themselves, and families who had multiple family members die within a very short time. So the stories are pretty touching. And,
wow.
And I've also found some of the background on some of the flu victims and some neat little stories about their earlier years.
Yeah, little tidbits on kind of each family.
It kind of makes a more human face on it, I think.
So what do you think about all this, Jay?
It is very, very rich about Marshalltown history. And as a genealogist also, there are families whose ties go back, and we've tracked some of those. There's a lot of information about the early medical professions that we had in Marshalltown, and it's one of those hidden stories that it's a hidden gem, and unfortunately, Dori took the time to go out and dig through the records and find out about these people, and it's been a fascinating year and a half that we've been doing these, getting this stuff ready, and I'm kind of the PowerPoint person for this, so I'm anxious to to see it on screen. We were going to do a walking tour, but the weather got to us. And I think this will be easier for people to come and see. We're going to do a real nice handout with some maps, and so people can go and, if you know, if they recognize a name or they want to go see a particular death or particular burial. And as Dory said, there are families that were affected where an infant or a young person would die, and then an infant and maybe the mother, and it decimated families.
Or young married couple who both died, I believe, on the same day and left behind a 2 or 3 year old little boy. I mean, it's
all kinds of amazing
stories. There's stories that are, it's human interest. And we put a little bit of first person to it, and we're very fortunate that the library works so well with us and friends of the library, and we have access to the old newspapers, and it's going to be a fantastic presentation.
It will be a great program. The other thing that's nice about the library, it's easily accessible, and it's a great space, and it's handicap accessible, so it's not a walking tour. Mm-hmm. So it's a great place to have it, and with all the statistics and everything, and if the weather's not a good weather day, you can at least get into the library and still partake. Yeah. So, wow, that went quite quick. So Kyle's giving me the big timeout, so we'll be right back with our second segment.
The Marshalltown Convention and Visitors Bureau has the resources you need to make your event a success. Marshalltown has many amenities that make us the perfect location to hold your meetings, conventions, and tournaments. We offer tour and site visits, welcome bags, media contacts, name badges, information on speakers, caterers, and entertainment, and more. Your successful event is a priority. For more information, go to the website, marshalltown.org/visit, or call me, Val Ruff, at the Marshalltown Convention and Visitors Bureau. Marshalltown, meet in the middle for fun.
Amazing deals are going on now during Menards Christmas Home and Gift Sale. Stop by Menards Automotive Section today and save on car care products and vehicle accessories. Get a DieHard fully automatic battery charger with scrolling digital display. It works on both 6-volt and 12-volt batteries. Pick it up today for just $34.99 during Menards Christmas Home and Gift Sale. Sale price is good through December 1st. Plus, give the perfect gift this Christmas with the Menards gift card.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Hi, this is Kim Hagan, board member for the Marshalltown YMCA-YWCA and co-chair of the Y's 2018 annual campaign. Every day, the Marshalltown Y gives Central Iowa the support it needs to learn, grow, and thrive. There are new challenges facing our community that create a greater need for the work we do, and we need your help to do it. Please consider a gift to the Y's annual campaign, supporting programs like Teach Them to Swim, which has given more than 500 kids critical skills for safety around water. And youth membership to the Y, which provides a safe space for 150 kids every year to learn and grow. And Live Strong at the YMCA, helping dozens of cancer survivors reclaim their health. These are just a few of the examples of how the Y helps communities and the us who live in them. But we can't do it alone. This holiday season, donate for a better us. For more information about the Marshalltown Y's annual campaign, go to www.ymca-ywca.org.
Welcome back. It's 8:42. We're at 24 degrees. Experience Marshalltown, and we have Val Ruff, Convention and Visitors Bureau Director.
Thank you, Kyle. Welcome in to Experience Marshalltown. This morning, I have Dory Tam and Jay Carolla with me here. We're talking about the Spanish pandemic flu, and with Dory doing a lot of research on this and how it affected Marshalltown and all of the families that it affected in this particular area. We haven't really talked, Dory, about the time when it was first kind of recognized till, like, the timeline of the Spanish flu. Do you want to kind of cover that? And then I know that at the break we were talking about that you've read multiple books and done a lot of research and continue to do a lot of research. So do you want to just share that information?
The flu actually spanned late winter, early spring of 1918. There were actually three waves of it that that initial wave, it wasn't really recognized or called Spanish flu at that time, and the people who got sick then developed an immunity and survived when the worst of it hit the following fall and winter, which was 100 years ago right now. And then it lasted through the winter, 1918. Yeah, it lasted through the winter, kind of died out during the summer, and the following winter, 1919 and into 1920, hit again. That was not as devastating as the fall and winter of 1918, but it covered a couple of years, actually, before it completely died out. And there were so many deaths that average life expectancy in the United States dropped afterwards because so many people died, and they were... And unlike most influenzas, this one affected 20 to 40-year-olds more than the young and the old, and that's true even in our statistics at the cemetery. 45 of the 90 or so victims were between the ages of 20 and 40 who were otherwise healthy young adults.
Yeah.
And what happened was their bodies, their immune systems kicked in so strongly that it attacked their own body, and it was kind of like their immune system is what killed them off. They would get pneumonia, and I mean the symptoms were horrible. People were bleeding through every orifice in their bodies and swelling up and high fevers. And
it's like a horror movie that we watch today. But you know, as you talk about the flu, you know, it did take place kind of in the fall and winter, which is typical with our flu seasons today. But it's just kind of interesting that it affected a different age of adults.
There was one story in one of the books I read, and this was in South Africa, wasn't here, but there was a man who was taking a 3-mile trolley car ride to his home, and in the course of that 3-mile ride, before he even got home, the driver of the trolley car dropped dead and two passengers dropped dead, and he ended up getting off the trolley car and walking the rest of the way home. People were dying almost within hours of getting sick in some cases.
Wow. So
it's scary.
It is kind of scary, and you're thankful today that we have vaccinations.
Yeah.
And you can kind of figure that out, but it wiped out a lot of folks back in that time.
They had mass graves in some of the bigger cities.
And we were kind of just talking about that, as like, were there certain parts of the United States that were affected more than others? And like you said, they didn't even know what it was. They didn't know what they didn't know, right?
Right. And it actually started, they believe, in Kansas, not in Spain. The reason it's called Spanish flu is that there was wartime censorship going on, and the newspapers weren't printing much when it initially started, but Spain was neutral during the war, so news was still coming out of Spain, and their king got Spanish flu, and so it got the title Spanish flu, but they believe it actually started in Kansas with a soldier who went home on leave, got sick, went back to camp, and because it spread like wildfire through the military camps all over. We have several deaths from camp that came from Camp Dodge in Des Moines. That was hit really, really badly. Hospitals in the military camps were just overwhelmed, and they said bodies were stacked like cordwood. And the commander at Camp Grant near Rockford, Illinois, who was known to just love his men, actually ended up committing suicide, shot himself in the head with a gun because he was so devastated over all the losses of his men. I mean, the stories are just incredible.
You could just sit around and talk for hours about this.
Yeah.
And you're such a great storyteller. I just have to tell you that.
The thing I think is fantastic, too, is in Marshalltown or Marshall County anyway, I know in Dory's research, we have not seen any death of the medical profession or the funeral directors or the city officials that, you know, they were involved so much, but yet they must have been able to take precautions to not get themselves exposed, because I know there's stories like at Camp Dodge in Des Moines, sometimes the person that would go for the deceased in the morning might be the deceased themselves in the afternoon, because it spread that bad. And like Dory said, they were stacking bodies in mass graves. And
ran out of caskets in many cities. It was bad in New York City and Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Baltimore, Maryland. And it kind of spread even though it started in the middle of the country, it hit the East Coast first. There were a lot of military installations there, and there were troops coming and going. They said troop transport ships sending troops over to fight in the war to France were floating caskets. And we have one victim at the cemetery who died on a troop transport ship on the way to France. So,
so any names that you want to mention that might be included in our group that is here at the Riverside Cemetery that's worth maybe, I don't know.
Oh, well, there was a Elmer Purcell from Purcell Davis Funeral Home.
Okay.
Died of the flu. He was in the military and died at, I believe, in one of the camps.
Not he sure died he died down in Louisiana, if I remember right.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And but, I mean, see, it wasn't any certain race, any certain person. It was just plain everybody.
Statistically, it even affected black people less than whites. The Alaskan natives, Eskimos, they were practically decimated. They had little immunity, and they were up there in the middle of nowhere, and they had one doctor in a 500-mile area, and there were whole villages that were decimated there. And, I mean, there were islands in the Pacific who, you know, lost so many people.
Yeah. It's kind of devastating, but yet it's interesting because it is a part of our history. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be back with our final segment of Experience Marshalltown.
The Marshalltown Convention and Visitors Bureau has the resources you need to make your event a success. Marshalltown has many amenities that make us the perfect location to hold your meetings, conventions, and tournaments. We offer tour and site visits, welcome bags, media contacts, name badges, information on speakers, caterers, and entertainment, and more. Your successful event is a priority. For more information, go to the website, marshalltown.org/visit, or call me, Val Ruff, at the Marshalltown Convention and Visitors Bureau. Marshalltown, meet in the middle for fun.
This holiday season, give the gift of golf with the Principal Charity Classic. The Wakanda Golf Experience includes a round of golf at members-only Wakanda Club and exclusive clubhouse admission during Des Moines' annual PGA Tour Champions event. And the best part, every purchase benefits Iowa kids, so your gift makes a difference. Play where the pros play while supplies last. Visit PrincipalCharityClassic.com and save 20% on the Wakanda Golf Experience today.
Let the magic of the holidays begin with the Nutcracker Ballet at Stevens Auditorium Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th. Professional principal dancers join more than 200 local performers in bringing this classic fairy tale to life with the imaginative choreography of Robert Thomas and Miyoko Kato Thomas. Buy your tickets today for this treasured holiday tradition at Stevens Auditorium Ticket Office or Ticketmaster.
The bakers of Country Hearthbreads want to put a little more jolly in your holiday this season with their Home for the Holidays sweepstakes. One lucky winner will receive a check for $1,000 to use for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever would make your holiday more memorable. Enter today at countryhearthbreads.com/sweeps for your chance to win. Country Hearthbreads, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
Welcome back. It's our final segment with Val Ruff, Experience Marshalltown.
Thank you, Kyle. So this morning I've got Dory Tammen and Jay Carolla in here, and we're talking about the Spanish flu because that's going to be a program that they're going to be covering on Saturday at the library at 10 o'clock. You should definitely come out, and there's a lot of great information about this. And so, Jay, you want to go ahead? I was at the break. We were talking a little bit about how the medical community stepped in and was playing a role in this when it was happening at the time.
Well, back when this happened, the Evangelical Deaconess Hospital had just started in 1914. So, I mean, they had an isolation ward within that hospital. But the Y building that used to be on East Church Street between the Max Building and the Wells Fargo Bank was considered the Red Cross Hospital. And at that time, that building had rooms because they had roomers that were staying there. And instead, they converted it to a hospital, isolation hospital. And seems to me we might have a picture of that with the Red Cross hanging in the window. I know Dory's got a story about a man that got delirious and jumped from one of the windows, and he died from the fall. But I believe he also had the Spanish flu.
He was there because he had the Spanish flu. But he
so
was
I mean,
delirious.
But his cause of death was the fall. And of course, you know, St. Thomas Hospital was out on 12th and Fremont, and I believe the Catholic Sisters had a small isolation ward within a private house or one of their convents. And we have to remember too, Marshalltown in this era had a lot of doctors' offices that were also clinics, where they infirmaries, and they they had to be so careful so that it didn't spread. And I've been studying Marshalltown history for about 55 years, and when I went to the cemetery, this is the first I learned about it, and it's a fantastic story. And believe me, we're touching the tip of the iceberg. There's more and more and more that tumble down, stories that go with it.
Thank goodness for the historians that, you know, wrote the stories about that. So anything else before we kind of start to wrap up here that you want to cover about your program? I know I do want to cover, too, that, you know, we talked about that you've been working with the public library and you've done some great programming, partnershiping with the library.
We've had several history walks that have been really fun, and we've had a good turnout for, and it's just amazing to tell the stories of early Marshalltown.
And it makes me think about Dorothy Apgar, because she was kind of our historian and started those kind of walks and did that. And so thank you for carrying that tradition on and telling these great stories. There is a lot of history in Marshalltown.
It's fun to do the walks at the cemetery, but this will be also fun to do because the people are going to all be captive. We're going to have the sound so that everybody can hear. We'll have some handouts, and you'll be able to see on the screen.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the show this morning, both of you, and taking the time to come in. And like I said, thank you for the work that you do and keeping history alive in Marshalltown. And Jay, keep plugging away. If you need anything historical, call the cemetery. Both of Dory and Jay can help you. But I want to take the last few minutes here of the program today to cover the what's going on in the community this coming Thursday through Sunday. So tonight, if you haven't heard already, at 7 p.m., the Irish Christmas in America. This is a traveling performing group from Ireland that's going to be at the First Baptist Church. So if you're looking for something fun to do, I know you can still get tickets at the door. I will be a ticket taker at the door tonight. So come on out to the First Baptist Church and partake in this awesome performing musical that's taking place, thanks to Bob Antee. Then we move to Friday, and at 7 p.m., there's a couple things going on. There's an evening with Luke Fox, and that takes place at Fiddle and Whistle. And then also 7 p.m. is a wine tasting that's put on by the college and I think the Orpheum Theater. It's not at the Orpheum, so hang on a second. I'll give you some more details here. We move to Saturday. We have two holiday craft sales. One is put on by the Senior Citizen Center that's located at their new location at the Nicholas Center. And then the other is a winter holiday and craft show that's taking place out at the Central Iowa Fairgrounds in the CVB building. And then, of course, at 10 a.m. at the library is a Spanish flu program that we talked about today. And we move to Sunday. We've got the Messiah is taking place at the First Methodist Church at 3 p.m. And also a Christmas in Tinseltown, which is the YMYW dance troupe performance, and that's taking place at the MHS Auditorium. So if you need more information about anything we shared here today, or if you want to put your event on the community calendar, go to www.marshalltown.org and click on that events tab. Thanks for tuning in this morning.